She stood at the bus stop, shuffling her feet. It had been 12 minutes and still no bus. You'd think on bloody Kensington High Street on a Friday night you could get a freaking bus. This sucked. Not to mention the creepy guy in the hoodie and earpods who kept glancing at her when he thought she wasn't looking. She felt too exposed in her white filmy spring dress, and she hadn't even brought a cardigan to throw over her shoulders. What had she been thinking, wearing the damn thing? Well, she knew what she'd been thinking. It was a gorgeous night, unseasonably warm, and she'd thought things would turn out differently. Deliberately, she turned her back on Hoodie and checked her mobile. No text, no missed call. It seemed she'd been wrong. And still no bus. Hoodie edged a little closer. That did it. She'd walk round the corner into Kensington Church Street and catch the 52. That way she wouldn't have to change at Notting Hill Gate. But it meant going back past the piano bar, and she didn't want to see them. She hurried, looking back once to make sure Hoodie hadn't followed. When she passed the club, music came thumping through the open first-floor windows. She ducked her head, as if that would make her invisible. When she'd stormed out, she'd half hoped someone would follow. But now she didn't want to talk to any of them. Not tonight. Maybe not ever. And Hugo. She was finished with him for good. She really was. Just thinking about last night made her flush with shame. Feeling guilty about wanting to break things off, she'd slept with him again. And then tonight, she'd found out what else he'd been up to. Jesus! Wanker! Her sandals slapped on the pavement as she cut across the open forecourt of St. Mary Abbot's Church. It seemed dark and deserted with the flower stall closed, and she was glad to round the corner and climb the hill to the 52 stop. The bus came trundling round the corner, squeaking and sighing to a stop, and she climbed on with relief. She sat downstairs. No way was she attempting the spiral stairs in the full-skirted dress. Settling into the seat, she looked away from her reflection in the glass, but not before she'd seen the dark hair curving against her cheek and the bare line of her neck. She shivered. Back at the club, she'd taken one sip of the nasty drink the bartender had made her, then left it on some stranger's table. Now she wished she'd held her nose and got it down. At least it might have made her sleep. When the bus rattled to a stop at Elgin Crescent, she got out and walked the rest of the way. The gardens were dark, the streets quiet. The house, when she reached it, was dark too, except for a faint glow from the lamp in the basement kitchen. Taking her key from her bag, she paused for a moment on the step, suddenly reluctant to go in. She wished she had someone to talk to. Her mum, maybe, who would give her sensible advice. But her mum was miles away, and she couldn't ask for her help. She promised not to tell anyone what she'd learned, and it was a promise she was bound to keep. She'd been an idiot with Hugo, she could see that. She could also see that it didn't matter in the long run. He was trivial, never more than a diversion, and her life would go on very much the same without him. It was the other thing that was going to have consequences she hadn't foreseen. Consequences that were going to change her life one way or the other, whatever happened. Jean Armitage never set an alarm clock. She had awakened at 5 a.m. every morning of her adult life, winter or summer, rain or shine. She took great pride in this. To her mind, people who weren't ready to meet the day were lacking in fortitude. When her husband Harold had been alive, she'd slipped carefully from the bed, tiptoeing to the bathroom to dress so as not to disturb him. A banker, he'd thought it uncivilized to rise before 6. Now she enjoyed the freedom of switching on the bedside lamp, of dressing as she pleased, of making the bed with boarding school neatness before going downstairs. On this Saturday morning in May, she fluffed the pillows and gave the flower-patterned duvet cover a final, satisfied pat. Crossing to the window, she pulled open the curtains and stood for a moment, looking down into the communal garden. The sky was a clear, pale rose, and the first rays of the sun were just gilding the tops of the trees.